All right, everybody. The world is a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. Here we are, me, Ryan, and Kevon are about to do a tweet cab and talk to you about what's going on in our world. What's up, you two gentlemen?
How's it going, Matt?
Yeah, crazy things happening yet again.
Let us talk about what's exactly going on in this world. So first things first. All right, one of our biggest stories of this week. On Thursday, we had a death in the celebrity world. Orenthal J. Simpson, O.J. Simpson, better known as The Juice, passed away from prostate cancer at the age of 76. O.J. Simpson is an NFL Hall of Famer and a Heisman Trophy winner, and he's the only running back to have had 2,000 yards in 14 games. He also was charged with the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, which he was charged and acquitted, but was found liable in a civil case. So a complicated history, obviously. And Twitter and X had a field day with this. And I have to say, amongst a death, it was definitely, there wasn't a lot of mourning going on, if you will. So, you know why. A lot of people feel that O.J. Simpson is a murderer. Despite the extreme evidence against him, he was still acquitted. And despite that, a complicated history, he did serve jail time for an unrelated incident. And then came back, was big on Twitter, and then is gone. So, yes, weird day. This was definitely a celebrity death, for lack of a better word, that was celebrated from a lot of people, and we know why. But how do you feel about the death of O.J. Simpson, my friends?
Well, goodbye, Twitter world. I don't know. I'll be honest. I thought when it happened, I thought in my brain, like, there's people who are famous that you just don't care about, and maybe like they're not even great people. And so you think, oh, well, if they pass away, then they pass away. But I was a little bummed. I'm not going to lie. I mean, OJ is kind of a big celebrity, and, you know, and he's gone. However, I think it's probably important I just say this. He definitely, in my brain, probably killed those two people. So it's not like this was a good person. I just want to put that out there, because whenever I say, like, I actually feel kind of bad. Like, I thought he was kind of funny on social media. That doesn't erase that he, you know, killed his wife. And
yeah, just waiting for the moment, really, when I'm just asked the question. But Kevon, your thoughts first. I mean, next on the death of OJ.
Oh, man. This thing is like dividing the whole country in a way. Yeah, I don't really.
All right, we have Kevon paused for a second. So he should come back any second now. But yeah, this was, you know, for the few people I texted, Ryan, people said good riddance.
Resonance from...
Okay, oh, you're back now. Kevon.
You're back.
We didn't hear anything you said, so you mind repeating that?
Oh, no, I was saying it. I'm not really concerned with it. It's, there's a lot of people that are like divided on the subject, just like it was when the court case was in progress. And now I don't see the real,
All right, back and forth again, but, I'm sure those,
I was going to say, looking at, like, he was talking about the divisiveness of this, right? And it is so interesting because there's like five different dividing lines, right? There's obviously racial, but there's also like there's also like generational too. I feel like younger people don't care about what happened during the case.
Oh yeah,
and older people do, right? I think it's a fair statement. So like, if you're older, you might have like more of a, you know, pro OJ stance, whereas I think most young people have kind of just been growing up in a society where like everyone kind of says, if I did it, you know what I mean? And like,
which is all, he did a book he literally wrote.
Yes. And so I think that's part of it is like, there's like a generational split for like people who don't care at all. Like they've grown up in a world where OJ is more of like this weird kind of wacky celebrity figure and less like a star, you know, a star athlete, a role model, like all the things that he was at the time. Versus what people know him for now, which is a wacky internet celebrity who was accused of killing his wife. I think that there's a huge generational shift as well as like the race, the racial shift, which I think is kind of interesting. Like you could see like a comedian I follow, who's older, was making jokes about a bunch of comedians actually I follow were making jokes on either side of this. Like, but like they saw this as like a huge pop culture moment, and it is. I mean, it's a big deal. The famous person passed away, but. Whereas younger people were far less likely to even comment on it, right? Because I mean, what you know,
just don't I saw, even know.
Yeah, I saw younger people when posting more of like the I mean, that Shrek scene. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying there's like a Shrek. There's like a Shrek parody of
him,
Bronco
the white
chase.
Bronco. Yeah.
Yeah, like most young people were sharing that because what they like, they know the parody of the original OJ thing. Better than like any of the stuff that actually surrounded that case. So I thought it was just interesting to see the old, you know, the
you
old
know
jokes resurrected.
I'm sorry,
one more time.
Let me interrupt this. Let's just do it. Did OJ kill Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson?
Yeah, I think so. I think that everyone kind of thinks so, to be honest with you.
Well, I didn't hear any of that.
We asked, do you think OJ did it? Yeah.
Do I think he did it? This is a man that was acquitted in court.
He was.
Hey, you know, but Johnny Cochran said he's not here for, he's here to win, though. He was here to win.
Who am I to say he did it or not?
I know that was the power of attorney, though.
What was the evidence against?
From, we had, like, one of the... at the house from the who is the police officer who said it himself on trial that he tampered with evidence. I think that's the most damning thing in this. And you know, obviously the thing with the OJ trial was not necessarily about OJ's innocence or not. It's the fact that a black man for once beat the system, and that's where
that's
the celebration came in.
That was the main thing.
Yeah, they could care less who it was.
Dave Chappelle said it best. The look on like white people's face was like priceless when he got off.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people a lot of people thought he was for sure. I mean, people still, let's just be honest, think for sure he's guilty. And as I was saying, I think in the younger generation, there's not even a real racial divide. I think young people just kind of know O.J. Simpson as the dude who killed his wife and got away with it. Like that's his celebrity for anyone under a certain age.
Yeah,
all of us, by the way, I think fall into that category. Like I mean, maybe you guys have different experiences. My family certainly didn't spend any considerable amount of time talking about the OJ Simpson case
like
while
at
I
the
was
time?
Growing up.
Oh,
no
oh,
while
yeah,
I was
yeah.
Growing up,
right? It was
yeah.
Already done.
Yeah,
when we so the chase is June 17th, 1994, which happens to be coming up that anniversary. So and I happen to know that because one of the best 30 for 30s has a montage of events that took place on that day. That was huge in the sports world. The U.S. World Cup the World Cup in the United States started that day. Game 5 of the NBA Finals, Knicks and Rockets. Arnold Palmer played in his final U.S. Open. We have baseball on the midst of a strike. And then, yeah, here's the big chase. And then I was October 95 when the verdict was read. And obviously me and Ryan were infants and Kevon was just behind. And there's a photo of me watching it at my great grandma's house. Really is my clearly not knowing what I'm about to get into in this life. But that was the first thing, the first tweet cap story I saw.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I bet you. We were both alive. I bet you I wasn't. I'm sure my parents weren't even watching. I'm honest. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I would bet money that neither of my parents cared at all about that case. But Maybe not. I don't know. But exactly. My point is, like, young folks, right? We just know post case OJ.
Yeah.
So everything is baked in. We know he was acquitted. We know he's been accused
Right.
of murdering,
Wait,
right?
excuse me. Brian. Oh. I can't hear anything you guys are saying.
Yeah, I see your connection's a little in and out. Do you wanna
Yeah.
just pop out real quick and just hop back in? Usually that might fix the
That might
problem.
fix that, yeah.
I'm having issues. I thought this might happen.
But yeah, OJ pre-case was apparently an extremely beloved celebrity. Famous
Right,
in
but
Hearst commercials, Naked Gun movies,
exactly.
NFL legend, and
But we
well,
don't have that, like, we don't have that really that, like, we don't have
reference.
that filter for this. So that's why I think that it's mostly older folks that have, like, this older folks in Kevon when he gets back, who have the strong, like, feeling of how important it was that OJ beat the case, even if he was guilty or whatever, like,
Right.
all that stuff. Like, for most young people, that's just not even on the. I feel like that, and again, if I'm wrong, tell me in the comments, but I feel like that's not even a part of most people's thought process about this. Again, I mostly know him for the absolutely phenomenal way he misused social media. He was a really funny social media personality when he joined Twitter. He would do videos all the time talking about different things, which I thought, again, was very funny. But again, it was always with the knowledge, like Kevon said, that he was acquitted. Like, whether we thought he killed anybody or not, this dude was definitely free to do, live his life. He was acquitted of his charges. He got later on, he ended up going to jail for other unrelated stuff. But so, like, I don't know. And I feel like that might be part of the reason why younger people also found him funnier, because we didn't have, like, the trial as a frame of reference. But definitely, definitely an outsized figure either way, in sports and in entertainment. And there's, no matter how you think that should have gone, like the trial, everyone knows that, like, everyone knows who he is. Everyone kind of knows about the trial and, like, that era now, because they've covered it like crazy. They did the true crime story with Cuba Gooding Jr. And, like, David Schwimmer and whatnot. And so, like, yeah, there's, and then the Kardashians are, like, low key wrapped up in all this, because of their father. So yeah, I mean, he's a cultural icon, whether you think he did it or not, which is why this immediately got a reaction from everybody, even the young people who only know him as, that internet guy who maybe killed his wife.
Come on, you're back. Seems that that was fixed. Do you have any other thoughts on this before we move on?
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Hey,
And acquit
listen,
they did.
my thing with that, and you're not wrong, the only thing was on that defense team, they don't care if he did or not. They're just trying to get him off. And with a lot of things going their way, they pulled it off. That's all I'll say
Yeah,
with
I
that.
mean, they did their job, right?
And then again, I think the most
They're
revealing stuff
supposed to be the dream team of attorneys, so.
of yeah. The thing is, again, it's just having that cop, what was it, admit to tampering with the evidence. And I think that was the key in the
Hey,
case.
Cato Kaling was there and he didn't hear anything. So maybe we're all wrong. Maybe Cato did it.
Oh,
That's
man. Well,
slander. Yeah, that's
OJ
slander.
can
I didn't
rest.
mean that. I didn't mean that. Wasn't Cato. Can't come after us. I didn't mean that.
Well, OJ can rest now knowing that the killer is likely no longer out
Yeah,
there.
that was literally the funniest thing he's ever said. I'm sorry, I know we have to leave.
Just.
He said he doesn't go to Los Angeles because he doesn't know, and he might be sitting next to the killer. And now I could tell that Kevon wants so badly to say OJ didn't kill these people, and that you don't have to say it. That's fine. I'm saying it for you. But Kevon, since he probably for sure did, that's the funniest thing you could say. If you kill two people and you spend your entire, he had cancer. And he lied, by the way. He lied about how sick he was. They're like, "We heard
Yeah,
you're going
there's
to
that clip.
hospice." He goes, "I'm fine." And then he died, by the way. So if you're such a liar
OJ lied to
that
us.
if you're such a liar that you tell people that you're still scared that the killer is out there and looking for you, That's that the commitment to the bit at that point when you're like you're 76 years old and you're gonna tell people, no, I'm scared of LA. What if the killer's looking for me? This happened so long ago, the 90s. This happened. There's no the killer's probably gone too. Like, but
I
insane. The bit that bit alone is classic. The fact that he committed to the being scared of the killer when he was almost certainly the killer is very funny.
Anything to say, Kevon?
I think Ryan pretty much covered it. Yeah.
Well, we'll leave it at that. And the last thing, probably one of the best docs of all time, OJ Made in America. You ever seen
I've
that, the
seen that
30 for
one
30?
actually, yeah.
It actually won the Oscar for best pit documentary. I think that pretty much no more need to do research on OJ after that. That pretty much cut all the ties and just brilliant filmmaking right there. Highly recommend it.
Obviously, by the way, I'll say this, and you guys don't have to, because I know we just called him a murderer a bunch. Obviously, respects to his family. He maybe did these things. They did not. And they've lost a loved one, and that's sad. So losing a loved one is sad, and to them, that's a loved one. Even if to us he's a funny internet personality or a vicious murderer, he was acquitted, and he does have a family, and that family is probably grieving. So, obviously, thinking of them as they try and process what's going to be a very difficult thing to process, I'm sure, over the next few weeks.
All right, let's switch some gears. Let's get to music. We are about to continue the J the J we're sorry. Let's get to music now. We are about to continue the Drake versus J. Cole versus Kendrick Lamar saga. And it took another turn. Last Sunday, the rapper J. Cole apologized for releasing a diss track about Kendrick Lamar, saying he felt, quote, terrible, and vowing to update the song or remove it from streaming services. This dropping from his recent release. He also said that this track didn't sit right with my spirit. And like, come on, J. Cole. Come on. Like, are you serious? You're really gonna bow out like that? Do you realize how much you're gonna get clowned for this, not being taken seriously? And I know you probably are the most righteous mainstream rapper out there. And I commend you for those kind words, but you can't provoke, you can't start a beef and then run away from it. Isn't the idea of rap to show how stand up, how like you're not afraid of this moment? And you actually did write a diss track and now you're bowing away from it? Like, bad move by J. Cole. I really think this is gonna hurt a little bit of his career.
Yeah, so Sunday must have been laundry day for J. Cole because he folded like a shirt. And listen, I don't necessarily know that there needs to be extra performative machismo in any place, but certainly rap beefs are one of the few places that it makes sense, right? I know that this all started because they were trying to figure out who the big three, right, in rap were. And obviously Kendrick took exception to the existence of a big three. But if there is a big three, all we've really proven is that J. Cole's not in it. Right? I mean, just to be honest, Drake has not backed down from this. Apparently, I think this is the next part of the segment. He's actually,
For next, well, you could say it now, but we'll.
we'll talk about it later, but apparently he's doing another track about this whole thing. So Drake is absolutely not backing down from this. Nor I don't think he's ever really backed down when he's gotten into one of these. I'm not saying he's won them, certainly, but he's never given up. And then Kendrick, obviously, we talked last time about, I mean, he's got a ton of people who really like his stuff. He's very gifted. So yeah, all this really does is prove that J. Cole isn't really in the conversation, apparently, with those two.
In the big three, he's just gonna bow out and be like, he's going to be a just a it he's going to be definitely one of the best to do it, but
It's a huge
he's
two.
not on the Mount Rushmore, if you
Is
will.
it's a huge two now. J. Cole has backed out of the big three concept. But I mean, listen, if he's telling the truth and it hurt him that he released it, obviously he's an artist. He can take down whatever he wants. We're not owed the music. If he doesn't like the song anymore, he can absolutely get rid of the song. So I have no problem with that, but I agree. Like, this is definitely not the posture to take in a rap feud. And also, it seems like he's being disingenuous. Seems like he's just upset that everybody is mad at him, as opposed to actually disliking the fact that he was involved in the, because the beef's not squashed. You know what I mean? Like, Drake and Kendrick are still probably beefing with each other. So this changed nothing. It just, he stepped out of it. And so I feel like that's just him succumbing to pressures. But, you know, sometimes life is short and you don't want to deal with it. So I get where he's coming from. But, yeah, not a good look when you're trying to be in the middle of a conversation about who the best rapper is to refuse to release music on the subject.
And just to back down and just, you know, talk your shit, and then you're supposed to stand in there and fight back. And then you're just running away like a little bitch. Sorry. Kevon, you were saying?
Is that what you believe, man? He's running away like a little bitch?
Yeah, I do think that. Like, you go out of your way to make this diss track. You go out of your way to associate yourself saying you're one of the best. And now you're having second thoughts. As I mentioned, he's a righteous person, and I respect him for that. But, like, don't poke the beast. Don't take the heat if you can't stay in the kitchen.
He's throwing the timing. Yeah, timing is suspect. I agree, Matt. Where do you stand on this, though, Matt?
Me?
I mean, I'm like, I know you're on the J. Cole, but rather not on. Oh. Obviously, you said what J. Cole's doing, but
I'm still Team Kendrick the whole way.
But do you think that this makes it so J. Cole is not one of the, what's it called, like, not considered on this, like, big, you know, these big time?
Yeah, I think he's like, if there's an double F, if there's an A through B, A through F tier, then you have the superior tier.
Yeah,
J. Cole went from the S tier to an A tier from this.
Okay, so still a great, but not one of the rare.
Not on the Mount Rushmore. No.
Okay.
No. And apparently, with Drake dropping a diss track to Kendrick the night of this recording, hopefully it'll still have traction to react to next week. Mm. At least Drake is making his case. And, you know, people were he was on his tour complaining about him. He's like, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. But at least he's backing it up and trying. So, you know.
Mm. Yeah, he's owning it, right? So that's
all
right.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry. Something's really up on my Wi-Fi connection. I got to get it fixed. I'm not hearing any of you.
Okay. We'll have that fixed momentarily. But 1 second, though.
Can I do a rain check on this, Matt? It's, like, really bad.
Wait. Before we do that, last thing, Ryan. Do you think is going to be the where do you think this is going then?
I would say that obviously this, we'll have to see what the track, the Drake track, sounds like. I think Kendrick will probably respond, and you know what? It's gonna make Drake and Kendrick a bunch of money. I think people are interested in this feud. They're both gonna end up with bigger, you know, bigger and bigger followings from this. They're both going to end up with more and more support, better and better music theoretically. And I think J. Cole is probably going to be kicking himself for falling out of this as quickly as he did. Mm-hmm. If he could handle the mean comments on social media a little bit better, then he may have had the ability to cash in on the money that I think Drake and Kendrick are seeing. Because, I mean, they maybe don't like each other. I'm not going to speak to that. We talked about it last week, so check out that episode. But whether they actually dislike each other or not, they both like money.
Mm-hmm.
And this will make them a lot of money. I mean, rap feuds, especially good ones, are very lucrative. And I think the conversation, Matt, definitely step in if I'm wrong. Those two are both, at this current moment in time, would probably be in the S tier of active rappers. Like people who are actively touring and making music in hip hop right now. I mean, one of them, they're very different. One, I think, is very commercial, successful. The other one is very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in different ways, they're both kind of S-tier guys in rap right now. So right. It is a big feud, even if, you know, even if you have one side or the other that you really like. And I think that's going to print money for them, which, hey, that's what the that's what it's all about. When you're a famous singer, all you want is to make money at the end of the day, and so to be able to do that is good. I don't. It's not like in the old days when like these things turned violent, right? I think that it'll stay in music, you know.
We'll definitely see where this goes. All right, we're back. Kevon had to tap out due to some technical difficulties, but it's all good. We'll see you soon, Kevon.
Absolutely.
Ryan, Joker 2. How do we pronounce this? Joker. Yeah, let me make sure I get this right. Hold up. Now my Wi-Fi is giving issues. Maybe there's something going on. Joker Folie à Deux. Joker Folie à Deux, which is the forthcoming psychological thriller from director Todd Phillips, and it's a sequel to 2019's Joker. This time it is built as a psychological thriller with musical elements. So not a full musical, I don't think, but we have Joaquin Phoenix starring with Lady Gaga, where Joaquin Phoenix is obviously Arthur Fleck slash the Joker, and Lady Gaga is Harley Quinn, with Zazie Beetz returning as Sophie Dumond, who was in the first film and Arthur's obsessed crush in the movie. So this movie, this was a huge hit, tens of millions of views on the trailer. I don't know about you, Ryan. Joker is truly one of the most haunting movies I've ever seen, ever will see. I don't know if you'd consider it rewatchable, unless you want to be in a bad mood or sad or scared. But it's weird. Like, I found the first Joker, I don't know if it's a scary movie per se, but like the more you think about it, it paranoids you, I guess. It's weird. Do you know how to explain it?
I'm just going to try. The first Joker, to me, there was just... haunting is the wrong phrase, because haunting is, like, supernatural and spooky ghosts or whatever. There was, like, a deep-seated anxiety in that movie. I was anxious the entire movie. And I don't mean, like, anxious because I want to know what was going to happen or anything like that. Like, it just... there was a sense of being anxious watching the movie. Sitting in the theater, I felt anxious. And I think that was on purpose. I think that's kind of what you're saying. Like, the vibe is off. Not in, like, a way that, oh, this is a bad movie, the vibe is off. I mean, like, the movie is good, and you know it's good because you're meant to feel uncomfortable throughout.
Mm-hmm.
You're never supposed to feel comfortable, like, oh, I'm enjoying this Joker movie. You're supposed to be anxious and nervous and a little icky, maybe, about what's going on. And it did that really well. That doesn't leave a lot of room for musical, that vibe. And so that means, in my mind, that means one of two things. One, not the vibe they're going for, which would be interesting, because I think without that vibe, movie's actually not great. Like, I'll go out and say that. Like, the Joker movie, I've seen it twice, by the way. I have actually rewatched it. When you're like, I don't know if it's rewatchable. I'm like, it's not that rewatchable. It's still a little confusing. It's still hard to tell exactly what's real and what's not. It's a little clearer the second time. You're a little bit less caught up in it. But at the same time, like, I feel like the movie was good because of that anxiety and because of, like, the headspace it put people in. It's not, like, otherwise it's, like, a really kind of screwed up fan fiction. It's a reimagining of the Joker character in a world without Batman, really. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe
and that's what's
meet
weird.
Batman.
This is the first film was a standalone film, and that's what the director said. And just Warner Brothers wanted to get that sequel money. It was originally supposed to start a new, like, dark DC universe, but
that
now
was
they
never
just
a good
wanted
idea.
That.
Yeah, listen, that was never a good idea. I'm glad they didn't do that. That would have been bad. What my thing is, if they want to keep. This is going to maybe scare people. I don't even know. But
this movie was scary. I mean, if you remember, like, the Joker's, like, they said, don't go to this movie. This will cause riots and stuff like that.
So I think I was not going to mention that. And I'm hesitant to mention it. But there was real world things that happened at other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I will say. Anyone over a certain age knows what I'm talking about. If not, look it up. It'll come up. Trust me.
Yeah, you're probably referring to, you know, in 2012, Dark Knight Rises.
Yes,
but yeah, do you have to give the, just to give the context? You're regarding a violent massacres that took place in movie theaters.
Yeah, that's why I was like, you probably look it up without too much detail. But yes, 2012, Dark. Mm-hmm. Like, so when there was like that whole conversation before the movie, also that added to be like. I'll be honest with you. I went to the theater anxious. Not like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm scared of the theater. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, bad things happen in public all the time. But so I wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to go. I'm too scared. But it was there. It's always there.
Yeah. And especially and so, the social commentary that this movie right, had.
And then they added in, like, this movie is kind of provoking it. You know, when you get there, you're like, all right. So like, it's always there. So that definitely added to the anxiousness, which definitely helped the movie. That definitely won't be here this time. So if they want the same feeling and it's a musical and it's not going to have that same kind of grungy marketing danger element to it, I don't think. I mean, this movie is going to have to be unhinged.
There's just no official plot line yet.
Yeah, to put it like blindly, in order to make people feel as drained and kind of screwed up as they were watching the first one, as long as everybody watched it the same way I did, without any of those other factors and music added to it, like, this movie is going to have to be, I would say, scary. I didn't find the first one scary. I saw anxious, mm-hmm. suspenseful more than scary. This one's going to have to be a little bit like, I was gross is the wrong term. I can't even come up with the right words, but this one's gonna have to kind of be effed up. Let me just I'll say it that way. This movie is gonna need to be effed up to match what the first one did. And the first one, while interesting, wasn't really effed up. But I think this one is gonna have to be. And so we'll see. I'm definitely curious. I wanna watch it, but I think this movie has the possibility of making people talk in like the worst possible way for the longest possible time. I think there's a world where we're talking about this movie in a totally different context and we're talking about it right now after it's released on this very show.
Not to freak you out, but just a month before the election too, you have this come out. The release date is October 4th, 2024. And
there's no
it's
way
it's going to be spooky season.
Yeah, there's no way that they had the restraint I think they should exercise and not talk about the election. I'm sure they mentioned something.
Oh, in this
I'm
film? No, I don't think so.
I'm sure there's going to be a mayor or city council member. There's going to be
Commissioner
someone.
Gordon?
No, it won't be Commissioner Gordon, but there's going to be a politics subplot somewhere. I'm sure of that. I'll put that in there right now. But also, yeah, if they do the same kind of marketing as they did last time, that's low-key way more dangerous this time. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
In 2019, it wasn't election year. The year they put that in there,
but it was even still, it's just a different type of thing. I don't know.
And yeah, like I said, without this film, with no official plot line given by the studio, but clearly he didn't go to jail. By the way, spoilers for a 5-year movie. He caused the riots,
but no, he didn't go to jail.
Well, did he go to jail or he was?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong. The final scene what was the final scene? Him in the mental hospital?
Yeah, he's in the mental hospital.
Yeah, so basically he's clearly there. He sees Harley Quinn, Lady Gaga, and a romance begins. And then we go from there.
This movie, I don't know, man.
Can I say
you saw the trailer? I mean, we're gonna talk about the trailer, right?
Yeah, we both saw. I saw the trailer. Awesome. Everybody loves the final final scene of the trailer.
Very well done.
On a cinematic standpoint,
mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga has a lipstick of the smile, and they're able to, with great lighting and framing, able to have his smile exactly equal that. It's hard to explain without showing the sequence.
We'll maybe throw a picture up in the.
I could just do it really quick without audio.
Yeah, but while he's pulling it up, it's
Folle do. Which, by the way, what does Folle do mean? I forgot. It actually means something in French. I think
I'm
it
sure
means...
it actually means something, but I couldn't. It's probably what? Part two, right?
Well, I know it's different because of what's that movie? The Charlie Sheen movie, even though he's canceled. Par Ducks.
Let's
I don't
see.
know.
Folie à deux.
Folie à
folly,
deux.
Folly of two, also known as shared psychosis.
Oh, that might mean something.
Oh,
symbolism.
Definitely means something.
Symbolism. But also, and I have from here, and hey, look, a DC movie that people will respect and not cause people to go back to wrestling.
I mean, the thing is, though, this is not a DC movie. That's honestly my biggest strike against it.
Is it, would you consider, like, I know it's not a DC movie, but it's like, it's a, it just happened, it's not a DC movie, but it's, it's not a DC movie, but it's a DC movie by trade, but it's not a DC movie.
Right, exactly. It definitely is a DC movie. They own the Joker, but I don't, like, to me, my thing is, like, obviously very different. Do not say I'm comparing these two while we pull this up. But you know how, Fifty Shades? Oh, huh.
They have watching. Right here for those showing. Look at this.
And so he
and what does
smile.
This mean? There's a lot of video essays already trying to break this down.
She, I mean, clearly she is, I don't, not creating the Joker. He's already the Joker, but she's clearly into whatever the Joker is selling because she's seeing him in that way. I'm looking at the cover photo for it. He's in full Joker makeup. She is no makeup other than just red streaming across her face, or her lips rather. Again, I think this could be a very, very messy movie. But no, this is almost like a weird fan fiction. I'm just throwing, again, I said that before, I'll say it again. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, like, oh, this is poorly done. It's very well done. It's better than a lot of what DC is doing. But it feels separate. It feels like if Batman ever showed up in these, I'd be upset. Feels like this should be an alternate reality in which there is no Batman. There are no superheroes. There is just this chaos monster who is incredibly ill and no one is helping him. And that it feels like that's as far as this should go. And it's very nihilistic. You know what I mean? To make a movie that way, where there are no heroes. The only people we see are deranged and no one is helping them. And life is horrible. And that was the first one was about. And I bet you this one's the same thing, but now Lady Gaga's going to sing a song. And so, I mean, we'll see. We should see it together. We should try and see it together.
I am very much open to that idea. And just the last thing. So the note here from the music, it is scored by Hilder,
yeah. Jeez.
Hilder G.
Hilder Guadagnotier.
who did win, who scored the last Joker and actually won the best original score for this. And she's won an Emmy for her score, for writing the score for Chernobyl as well. So very, very accomplished and great composer. But it says here, the film is expected to include 15 musical numbers, most of them covers of pre-existing songs, with the opportunity to feature one or two original songs that will incorporate the elements of her score. And then the one that was used in the actual trailer, that's Entertainment from the Bandwagon. I have no idea. It's a song from 1952. And, you know, what a song called That's Entertainment. What, like, geez, you just wonder what this all means. That's what one of these movies, what does this all mean? And by the way, this went from the first film had a budget of $60 million. Joker 2 has $200 million budget.
That worries me too.
Not listening to what court said.
Does that worry you too? Like, it worries me.
I mean,
might be too much.
That's
going
why
on.
That's why we trust our indie filmmakers in A24 and like what court said at the Oscars. Instead of making 10, 20, instead of making one $200 million movies, make 10 $20 million movies. And right. They clearly didn't do that. Right away.
I feel like this movie could have been another low budget movie. A lower budget. I know $60 million is not nothing, but a lower budget movie. I mean, I'm anticipating this. Excited is the wrong word. I'm anticipating this.
Yeah.
I want to see what it is. I have absolutely no. I've got no positive or negative views on this. I just have the fact that it's weird they're making it. This movie is probably going to be very strange if it's going to attempt to match the feeling of the last one. And then, the last one felt like what, the King of Comedy movie too.
With the King of Comedy mixed with Taxi Driver,
Right. And
both
so,
Scorsese flicks.
and both very, very gritty and also unnerving films. I don't know if you've
Oh,
seen
yeah.
those two recently. I was
Oh, yeah.
uncomfortable watching them too. And so if this is
Of
going to try
course,
and
Taxi
be
Driver
them.
is classic, and King of Comedy is one of Scorsese's most underrated films.
Yeah, so I this could be this will be very interesting. That's what I'll say.
And do you like just how about the duo of Joaquin and Lady Gaga, and then we'll move on.
I mean they're both super talented. I think Lady Gaga is a great like actor as well, not just singer. Obviously, for the singing, Lady Gaga will probably do a lot more of the heavy lifting. I wonder if she'll do all of it. I mean, I'm just
Hey,
trying to
Johnny
think.
Cash did sing in Johnny
Yeah,
Cash.
that's
Joaquin Phoenix
Joaquin
sang
Phoenix. Yeah,
as Johnny
that's Johnny
Cash did
Cash. Yeah.
sing, and so he does have chops himself, so I
Oh,
trust
sure.
that.
Yeah, he could do it. I almost wonder, or I almost what I don't know what the movie's about. We don't know what the movie's about. I
Yeah.
could, in my brain, in my messed up brain, if I was doing the movie with only the information I know about it, I could see a world in which she was mostly singing. I could see the plot line they might follow. I
I
won't
wonder
bore you with it,
what other
but
songs that they'll pick.
I hope they
They
don't
must
pick
be
any Lady
singing.
Gaga songs, although that would be a little funny.
Oh man, I think that's a little too campy, but I could
I
see
would agree, but it would be a little
with that
funny.
score, with the score combining, so
Yeah.
arranging it in that way.
Although, in
La
fairness,
la 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 la.
Lady Gaga is actually a Juilliard trained musician,
Oh yeah.
so I wouldn't be surprised if her music did lend itself to orchestral scoring or film scoring better than some other pop songs would. You know what I mean? So it's possible. I hope she doesn't sing it. If that's the case, though, I would love if they found a way to make someone else sing it. What's his name? Brendan Gleeson is in this movie. He'll sing "Bad Romance."
Yeah, just how we want him. All right, let's continue. Let's continue, Ryan. The solar eclipse was this past week. I don't know, Ryan. You're up in, you're
Down in,
down
yeah.
in, I should say, down in. That you were down. Ah, you are down in Washington, D.C. I'm up here in CT. How was it for you?
So obviously we weren't in totality down here, but if you had the glasses, you could see it, like you could see it cover, but it never even got like that dark here. It almost
Oh
went from
yeah.
like, it almost went to like, it looked like it just got like, it looked like it was turning from day to night, but
Yeah, it
like,
was a little dimmer for us too.
yeah, it was like, or
Weren't in
like
totality.
a rainstorm, right? Whereas like, I know people who went into New York for totality, right? And
As in upstate New York, as
yeah,
in
upstate, sorry,
Western New
upstate New
York.
York. Yeah, upstate New York and Western New York both. And it got pitch black.
Yeah, like I want to show you right here. So, thanks to footage exclusive from WCVP, I believe that's an ABC affiliate in Vermont. Like this, hold up. Like this is actually what I was hoping for, and it just didn't happen. So, right here, look at this. It is pitch black.
Yeah. And you can see without glasses, you can see the entire eclipse.
And
Like,
people screaming, oh!
yeah, it this and the birds, like animals, were freaking out when this happened, my sources tell me. So yeah, would have been cool, I guess, but it was so cool to see, like, with the glasses anyway.
Yeah, like look at this. Like that would have been so dope for 5 minutes.
Just 5 minutes, right? Went away after 5 minutes.
Man, I've heard some ridiculous, some of
But
these
the
newscasts we're
traffic,
talking
though,
about were nuts. The traffic, yes.
trying to get home from one of these. So if you did travel, like
Oh.
I had people who traveled 9 hours to get home
Oh my God. Sorry,
from seeing
Ryan. I'm sure they
totality.
are wonderful people, but that was a
But
very stupid move from your friends.
it's crazy. It's just
9 hours.
crazy. Well, in
Come on.
fairness, there's nothing they could, no, it was not a 9 hour drive. to get there, it was a 5 hour drive, a 4 hour drive, a 4 hour drive.
Maybe an hour at the most. I would do.
Oh no, no,
five hours.
I drive 6 hours literally all the time.
But to see something for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I drive 6 hours all the time. That's not a crazy thing. What's crazy is something that's supposed to take four. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they were there for a weekend. No, I'm sure. I know for a fact they were there for longer. They just left after the eclipse, so they spent a weekend. But point is, what's crazy is there were so many people on the road that a four-hour drive took 9 hours. That's what's crazy. That's how many people went to see this eclipse from all over, that a four-hour drive, like factually, 4 hours to get there, to get there. Getting back was 9 hours. There was so many people who took the day off, took all this time off, went to see the eclipse. Apparently productivity, like there was an NBC article or whatever that said like the country lost like $170 million because of productivity, because everybody took off to see the eclipse apparently. I don't know if I believe that, but I didn't read the article, so who knows. But yeah, tons of people went to see this thing. It's all anybody was talking about when it happened, you know?
Well, I mean, it was a fun story. I don't know if I would drive again. I would drive maybe an hour for this. 4 hours, 5 hours.
Yeah,
I mean, if you have time and money, might as well, I guess. But geez,
that's a different. We live different lives. I can't see any of my friends or family unless I drive 5 hours. So
yeah,
a 5 hour drive, a 4 hour drive is not crazy.
I get that part, but to see.
Well, you got to
for 5 minutes.
You got to, yeah. You can't just go for the eclipse. You have to make a thing of it, but
make discover a trip of Buffalo. It. Buffalo. We're going to Buffalo for the weekend.
It was all over New York. You didn't have to go just to Buffalo. It was all over New York.
Or
a lot
Syracuse,
of New York was in
or
yeah, a lot
as
of
in
New
upstate
York
New York.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Sorry to the city folks. All you got was the earthquake. the upstate and western New York. They're the ones who got the total eclipse of the sun.
Hear that. Ryan, let's talk about a country star for once. We haven't done country yet. It's time to talk about country. So here we go. Ryan, you know Morgan Wallen, probably the most popular country artist right now. Well, on Sunday, Wallen was arrested for allegedly throwing a chair off the rooftop of Eric Church's Chiefs Bar on Broadway in Nashville. Let me say that again. On Sunday, Wallen was arrested for allegedly throwing a chair off Eric Church's Chiefs Bar on Broadway in Nashville. The Metro Nashville Police Department wrote in a statement on X that Wallen has been charged with 3 felony counts of reckless endangerment and 1 count of misdemeanor disorderly conduct. He did meet bond and he was released. And, he was fully cooperative with authorities. This seems like a classic old rock star move when you hear like Led Zeppelin and Motley Crue and The Who and Randy Orton destroying hotel rooms. And he seems like he's going to be fine. It doesn't seem like he's going to be facing any time for this. He's going to have to pay some hefty fines. And he has now a mugshot that seems to be improving his image anyways, in the sense that people really love this. They are in favor. Some people are in favor of what he did. He's allegedly opening a bar in Nashville this very weekend, and it'll probably get some more traffic from him breaking the law. But Ryan, what do you think about this? Are rock stars back now with this? Like, I've heard a lot of people talk about how rock really is country now, like in this era. And it seems like this is a very rock star move for Morgan Wallen to do.
I don't know that rock is country. I think country is still country.
Yeah.
I don't think the existence of a guitar makes something rock.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the rock star like attitude and lifestyle, I don't think we can say that it went away. I think that, you know, rap artists and pop stars have acted in the same way. I mean, your words, not mine. I think that this is a far cry from that. But in general, I do think that, and in pro athletes too, like a lot of very famous and wealthy people do this. Personally, I hope that people destroy his bar this weekend. I do. I mean, that's what he wants to do. I'm fine with it. But then you got to be okay when your bar is the one that everybody throws the chairs out of, right?
Yes.
So I do hope that happens. It won't, but I do hope that happens. I don't know. I'm a little tired of the performative masculinity in general. And you know this. I've complained about this a long time. I'm not going to do it for too long because at this point, like a third of our episodes from this year are me complaining about this topic. But I'm just so tired of it. Why? What the hell was happening that you needed to toss a chair off the roof? Apparently, he almost hit a police officer,
You're
by the
probably
way.
really drunk.
Sure, I'm sure he's
Because
very
he's
drunk, but
Morgan
he.
Wallen. Some country fans say that's okay. It is okay.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not. The fans thing, I'll get to the fans thing. But him specifically, I doubt he just got so drunk he said, I'm going to toss this chair. Something happened. Someone had to be like, yo, toss this chair. At the bare minimum, someone had to, like, dare him to do it. Like, there's no way he just said, I'm tossing this chair. Everyone out of the way. So it's just absolutely, again, this weird performative masculinity, especially around drinking, is a huge problem. The people who can actually, change it are people like Morgan Wallen. They can behave better and actually maybe get some people to start behaving the right way. And that's disappointing. As for the fans, I get it. And I'm going to say
The
this, I'm
Wallies.
not just him. I'm going to bring up my favorite group of people because they're the same thing, whether you want to believe it or not. Professional football fans. And the Wallies. We'll call them the Wallies. I like the name. I'm doing a complete 180 on this, as I've been very mean about all of this recent, this year. I get it. You're upset. You're sad, probably. You have nothing going on. And when people break stuff and live the rock star lifestyle, as Matt put it, it makes you feel happy. Because you can't do that. And we know that. We all know. We know if me and Matt threw the chair off the building, we would probably, I mean, we wouldn't have made bond, certainly. And then we'd probably end up in jail for a little bit. I mean, again, no one got hurt. It was just destruction of property. So it'd be crazy to go to jail for a long time, even for him, by the way. But we would, whatever the minimum amount of time you go to jail for doing that is, you or I would be doing that. That's just what would be happening. And he won't do that. And so it makes people happy to see people do the things they want to do for free, right? You know you can't do it, but you can live vicariously through Morgan because he can do it because he's got the money. And so I apologize. I think it's bad. I think everyone who thinks this way should admit they think this way and fix it, seek help. But I understand that it's probably not intentional. It's probably a lizard brain thing, and some folks in this camp only think with their lizard brain, and so I get it. But Morgan Wallen has a team of people. He has more money than anybody. This is stupid. Don't throw chairs. You're setting a bad example. You're getting yourself in trouble. And guess what? I don't care how much money he has. We might even disagree on this. He almost hit a police officer with the chair off the top of that building. That's a fact. That's why they knew that the chair got tossed, and that's why they went to investigate. If he had hit that cop, I mean, he could have been Elvis Presley. He was going to jail. If he hit a cop with a chair from the roof of a bar, he could be anyone he wants to be. He's going to jail. Police officers don't play around. They're their own little fraternity. They think they're the strongest people that have ever lived, too. Just like rock stars. You know what I mean? Like rock stars, they think they're the most important people in the room. So this was, hopefully this changes the attitude, but it won't. But man, I want to know what started it. Well, who said, who was it something as simple as, yo, Morgan, you won't toss this chair? Like, was it something like that silly? It doesn't sound like
Or
it was a
was
fight.
politics involved, or
I
was
don't
someone talking
know.
about his team? Like,
Yeah, I
yeah,
want to know so badly what made him
but I
pick up
don't
a
think a
chair and
lot
throw
has
it.
come up with that. Like, I couldn't find anything.
That's why I bet
So.
you it was something stupid. Like, how far do you think you could throw this chair? I bet you someone said that. That's my vote, Matt. My vote is someone said to him, they're just drinking, dancing, whatever. How far do you think you could throw this chair? And he goes, to the insert whatever. And someone said, no, you can't. And so then he tried it. That's my guess.
You know what, Ryan? Originally, I thought with the show, I didn't know if I want to do the story, but now with some things changing, I think it's worth mentioning now. Why don't we talk about Ohtani and Ippy, the next step? So why don't you walk us through the next chapter in the Ippy and Ohtani thing? Let's do it.
Well, I'd go beyond next chapter. This feels like we're nearing the end
already.
I think so. So it's been reported that, you know, the interpreter Ippy, as Masahiro, I believe is his first name.
Yeah, and that's going to be an infamous name now.
Ippy. Yeah, he's been charged. The police at this point are considering Ohtani a victim of this crime. That's their words, not mine. Mm-hmm. They believe that the money was stolen, truthfully, from Ohtani. And now I know what you're thinking, because it's what I was thinking. How did he steal $16 million? Well, apparently when Ohtani moved here, Ippy helped him set up the account. Then he said to Ohtani's team, again, who could not speak to Ohtani, they had to speak to Ippy, because Ippy's the translator.
Yeah, with the language barrier.
Yeah, the language barrier. Right. It's not illegal. They just can't understand Ohtani. And so he told them that Ohtani wanted that account, his other accounts, that account, to be private. He doesn't want that to be part of the larger brand and the larger deals, right? And then he started taking money from it. He, again, having helped create the account, he had the ability to log in on his phone. On several occasions, apparently, he called the bank and impersonated Ohtani.
Oh, man.
Receive money.
Can I say, have you ever seen, you ever see that meme or that TikTok where the guy's like, I could speak different languages. All right, let me see what we are. It's a Brazilian flag. Oh, Jamaican. Hey, I'm Jamaican. Is it something like that? Hey, I'm Ohtani.
Yeah. Hi, it's me, Shohei Ohtani. $1 million.
Just like the spammers on social media DMs.
I'm a Nigerian prince. mm-hmm. No. So apparently Ohtani wasn't lying. He truly had no idea this money was gone, which means how much money does this dude have that $16 million could fly under the radar with nobody noticing?
At least he's getting paid $700 million on this new contract, but
yeah,
who knows?
Also,
even more.
I will say, to give Ippy some credit, where it's not definitely not due, he didn't bet on baseball.
Yeah.
At least not that we've seen.
That's some restraint, if you will.
So at least when he was putting his friend and boss's name out there on the line to possibly be permabanned from sports forever or banned from sports, he made sure it wouldn't have been a permaban by avoiding baseball. I guess good for him for doing that.
But one thing, Ryan, even if this is true, and according to the police and the feds, that he was a victim this whole time, why did it turn into such a storm the first time, and why did it come off so suspect if this was the truth all along, according to the feds? And what would you even say to those who are still skeptic and they feel like, oh, they're still trying to cover up for Ohtani anyways from this?
Yeah, I would,
because there are some people who still think that he's taking the fall anyways.
Yeah, I tell those people to go on a date. It's not that serious. No, but seriously, yeah. I think genuinely about half of the conspiracy minded parts of the people that are still into it is just because they want everything to be corrupt, because that's how they view the world. They view the world as inherently corrupt, and therefore they want everyone around them to be corrupt. And I can't help you. If your worldview is everyone is bad, then I guess is what it is, right? But if you're actually curious about why was there so much confusion, I have looked into this. It turns out when the police called, as they did when the name showed up, it was Ippy who explained what was going on, because he's the interpreter.
So he ratted himself out.
No, the reason why there was confusion originally was because Ippy came up with the story. So the whole thing, like Ohtani paid a debt, Ippy made that up. No way, Ohtani never said that. They're like, what happened? He said, let me ask Shohei, see what he wants to say. Mm-hmm. Did one of these, and came back and told a story about how he had a gambling debt that Ohtani paid for, and it was all, right? He tried to hide the fact that he stole this money. And then, when someone, I don't know who, finally went to Ohtani and was like, I don't know if you paid that man or not, like to help him out, but you could be banned from baseball forever for doing that. That's when someone finally maybe sat down and explained why the police were calling, what was going on. And that's hopefully when Ohtani was like, well, that's not true. I didn't do any of that. And finally, they understood that there was. And so that confusing area where it's like Ohtani was helping a friend, then all of a sudden he's like, no, just kidding. This wasn't a friend. This person stole money. It's because the only person who said I was helping a friend was the friend in question. No one asked Ohtani.
So ultimately, you do think this is all Ippy. It turned into the mess that it was because of him. Ohtani's free. He's clean. And we could all just move on from this. And it just was a corrupted friend the whole time.
I personally believe that, yes. However, if you're on the other side, like I said, we've talked about you already. Also, just assume that that's still going to happen. Because even if it's not true, even if Ohtani is the corrupt person, the MLB has a star player that they need. Need. Keyword. Need. Not want. Need. And they have a plausible explanation for why this happened. Yeah. They have one. Like, it's plausible. Everything fits. He helped set up the account. Let's just call it, you know, what it is. They both sound Asian. The banker is like, sure, this is Ohtani. Why not? Yeah,
so we just have a racial profile
yeah,
bank
honestly,
agent who just assumes,
between,
oh.
Yeah. Ohtani needed a passcode, an account number, and to sound Asian. And he had, not Ohtani, Ippy needed those three things, and he had those three things, and I think that's how he took the money. And if it's not how he took the money, the MLB is going to say it because this gives them Ohtani. And they want Ohtani more than the feds want Ohtani. So they're absolutely going to push this as true. I personally believe it is true. I think it makes sense. But even if it's not, we can pretty much call this case closed, I think.
All right, fair enough. And I actually do agree with you. There's no reason not to. It's just, I don't know.
Crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah, for lack of a better word. Hey, Ryan, I'll wrap myself out in a ghost situation. Let's see if I did the right thing. And AMA, am I the asshole?
Oh.
I just met somebody. You know, the conversations are fine. You know, one thing now, if I am going to go on a date with somebody, I just really want to make sure, at least if I don't mind going down swinging if they give me a reason to want to go out with them. And the point of trying to establish something romantic or intimate is to show their interests, right?
Sure.
Like for a week, I flirted, got nothing back. All these great risen I'm doing, and I just got thank yous. And, you know, they kept talking, you know, like you and I talk. You might as well have a podcast with her. Combos. I had to move the date because of financial things, right? And moving. So I said, hey, maybe the end of the week. And I was like, okay, I've been carrying most of the conversations. Maybe she'll try to show any interest she has left. And she just didn't. And we went the other direction. So I admit to the ghosting, but I feel like, you know.
Did you ghost her on your date? Like, did you not tell her you weren't coming?
Oh, no. I didn't stand anyone up. I just never rescheduled. I would have if they were like, want to talk a little more on this and like give a reason to. I just, there was no spark there. Then we would go out and then I'm out the money I don't have and had a nice meal, I guess. I just knew it wasn't anything and there's nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't compatible. You know?
Yeah, I don't think that's that big a deal. It's not like you canceled the date. Oh, you did cancel the date, but what's it called though? I meant to say you didn't stand her up. Like you said, I'm not going on this date. We should reschedule. And then you never did. So like, and it's also, that was the first date, right?
Yeah. I never met her.
First date. So she's never met you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she might in her brain be like, wow, thank God I didn't go on a date with that dude. Ghosted me. But at the same time, like,
she never even texted me either, so maybe she really ghosted me.
Right. I'm just saying, like, at the same time, you guys don't know each other at all. You've never been on a date before. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think, you know, it's almost the same. It's honestly almost the same as if you talk to someone that, like, right after you swiped and then didn't talk to them again. You know what I mean? Like, no one would expect that person to necessarily respond unless they're interested. But, I mean, you've definitely proven you're not interested.
Exactly.
But other than that, I don't think that's a bad thing. I will say, though, it's getting warm out. I think we need to normalize free dates. Dates that don't cost money.
Oh, tough. You could say that twice. Like you know the thing with that though, in all seriousness, the hold up. Like you know the thing with that though, with in all seriousness, the free dates. Like the idea of first dates and meeting somebody is beginning a connection you have with each other, which is priceless. So the idea of a free date is a good test to see, man, if I only care about his or her or they's presence, then we got something here. Then, you know, we can get extravagant after. Like you're not
Well,
on
that's.
the,
I was
I'm
gonna
not,
say.
I'm just gonna say I'm
Okay.
not
Yeah.
somebody who can buy my way into intimacy. So
Sure. Yeah.
I think like that's a good idea because it kind of helps show like, man, I like this person enough that we don't have to spend a lot of money to
Yeah.
impress each other.
And I say free. I mean, I'll be honest. I feel like in a first date, free is a little hard. Because a lot of free stuff is very active, right? And
Yeah,
so, like, to be like,
affordable, I
let's.
guess.
Yeah, but like. There's no reason why a first date shouldn't be. And I will say this, and maybe we'll get, Kara, Kevon, maybe Jose at some point to correct me. But I don't think they will, and I certainly won't care if they try. If you guys could like grab a coffee and like then go walk, that's a totally, in my opinion, I mean, don't walk through like the street necessarily. Walk someplace nice. Yeah.
Show how badass you are with that one.
No, but like I mean, I don't know. It depends on what you're dating to. I get that. Like, if you're dating in a very suburban place or a rural place, even, then this is probably harder. I'll admit that freely, right? But you could do other things that are in place of this. But if you're in an urban, like, you're near New York, right? And I think you probably still date a lot of people near New York, New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, pretty much. That's my preference at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't. I mean, I have a wife, so I don't date, but I'm near DC. And so like, yeah, grab a coffee and then walk some, walk to a park, walk to a, a whatever, some sort of like, I don't know, a pier. Do something. And
Enjoy the
again,
scenery.
you're right, it's a nice day, enjoy the scenery, and then you're just talking. 'Cause like you said, I think that's important. It's you if someone is like, I only want to date someone if they can provide for me on the first date. I would tell that person they're being selfish.
Yes,
I would also
thank
tell that person, and this is the part you disagree with, that's totally their right. If that's their criteria, best of luck. And you know what? I bet you there's guys who have the same view. There's guys on there who can provide on the very first date, as you know, they could show up with a bouquet of flowers, pay for the whole dinner at the nicest restaurant in New York City. And you know what? Bless those ladies for aiming high. But I do think for a lot of normal people who actually care, care about like just trying to find someone and they're not so hung up on the rituals of the dating scene, it's good to talk to someone without like, you know what I mean? Without dinner, without, too much alcohol, just literally getting to know somebody. I think it goes a long way to establishing a real relationship in the future, regardless, a friend relationship, a romantic relationship, a friend that becomes a romantic partner that becomes a friend. I think all relationships are stronger for having had that period, personally.
Yeah, and that it just enhances your connection and really shows, you know, in the most intimate and most important parts of just being together, it shows that you two are truly happy. So I agree with that too. Two more things. One,
Sure.
this is just you and me. How about the failed AEW segment? CM Punk and Jack Perry had a headlock moment. And AEW thought this was going to break the internet. It only led to them, the internet breaking them apart.
Yeah, this obviously was trending on my Twitter. I don't know if it was trending all over. Although CM Punk was
CM
trending
Punk was
pretty.
trending, yeah.
So this counts. This is definitely tweet cat material. I have a different view of it, only because I'm so deeply in on that side of Twitter. I've seen the gambit of responses. Obviously, this failed. This was not a smart idea, and them doing it backfired. on them. CM Punk was trending. It barely it improved their number by 29%. They had 29% ratings increase over last week. So it did go up. Like that's a fact. It went up, but it went up very little. And again, even though it went up, you know what? Everyone's just gonna say, like, all the people who hate AEW are still gonna say, well, it went up because you aired CM Punk, right? Like, that's what they're gonna say. That's not necessarily true, but that's what they're gonna say. And so there was really no good outcome for AEW here. But there's been like a weird group of people, and I'm scared that I'll get lumped into them because I'm not a huge AEW guy. I did think this was petty and stupid. I don't think they should have done it. Certainly not the way they did it. They probably shouldn't have done it at all. But I saw the video for AEW, pulled it off the internet, by the way.
TMZ got it today.
Yeah,
so but couldn't stop them.
But they couldn't stop them. But CM Punk should have been fired. He was in the wrong. He attacked his coworker backstage. And I get it. It's, you know, it's wrestling and they have scripted fights backstage all the time. And so I'm hoping that's where people's heads are at. They're like, well, you know, they're just not thinking. But it wasn't scripted. He really did attack his coworker backstage. That's a fireable offense at any job, including professional wrestling promotion. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone who disagrees with that is either too ruthless for their own good. They have that same issue that we talked about in the Morgan Wallen segment in their heads, or they're getting worked and they think that all wrestling is meant to be this, you know, they think that kayfabe is real life all the time and it's not. So the people defending CM Punk, I'm not on that side. There's no defending CM Punk. He was in the
except if you're
he
crazy.
He attacked his coworker. Yeah, unless you've got a problem. Yeah. Like he attacked his coworker. Now, I would say I don't watch like AEW and stuff very often. I hadn't really seen it when this happened. Apparently, when it originally happened, he told a story that was very different than what he said.
That like there was an MMA brawl in there and,
right.
and bodies
like,
were
monitors
flying.
Fell too. Like
not even close.
Obviously, that's not what
you
happened.
Clown Tony Khan.
Well, no, and apparently Punk also kind of said some of this stuff too, but. On the Ariel Helwani interview that started this particular round of nonsense, he said that Perry started squawking at him. He got in Perry's face, choked him a little bit. Samoa Joe came over and told him to break it up. That's roughly what happened. We see Perry and Punk comes in. And
yeah,
Punk
he
goes
explained
to Perry.
It. He explained it the way it happened.
But basically, now. Again, he said he didn't swing on Perry. It looks like he may have swung on him a little bit. He made Samoa Joe sound like a passive bystander, but Samoa Joe actually, like, if you watch it, he ripped the two of them apart. He was like this. So, like, that was different. And also, Perry didn't go to him. He went to Perry. That doesn't, we didn't, there was no sound. So we can't say for sure that Perry didn't say something that Punk heard and went to him. But it wasn't like Perry walked up to Punk and started something. That's true. We saw the video. CM Punk walked up to Perry. So Perry may have said something and Punk went over to be like, what did you say to me? We won't know because they won't release the audio, which makes me think that that's probably what happened. But no matter what he said, you shouldn't attack him. Obviously, that's a given. And so, yeah, I think two things can be true. This was a bad idea. It made everyone look bad, including CM Punk. But this is pretty much how I envisioned this happening, to be honest with you. Like, I never believed it was a massive brawl. I always believed that Punk probably just shoved Jack Perry and then quit his job. And that's, with the exception of a headlock, pretty much what happened. And so this was a petty segment to air. And they got what they deserved, which is ridicule for it. But hopefully we can put this behind them because nobody looks good in this. Not Punk, not anybody. And certainly not wrestling fans who are now defending two really bad positions at the same time, depending on which show they like better. So,
what a joke, Ryan. What a joke. But it'll still be entertaining to see how this all unfolds. And our final story for today is Subway, man. Subway, you know that sandwich place. Subway was in the news because they are about to unfold a new marketing campaign, allegedly. So, due to inflation, The $5 foot long at Subway will now be known as the 6-inch $6. And if you could do the math, a foot long is 12 inches. This new sandwich is 6 inches. It gets cut in half and becomes more expensive. Just a sign of the times in 2024, am I right?
No. But you're not right. It's obviously this does not have anything to do with inflation. The $5 foot long was discontinued like 7 years ago. This is them hoping that nobody would remember the $5 foot long.
So those petty salt. So those, okay, if it's not inflation though, then why are they making it? Why are they lowering the sandwich? I mean, for more money, yeah, but that is the easiest excuse you could say since everything's more expensive. You know, they Arizona 99 cent Arizona iced teas are $1.29 in some places.
Sure. But
and this is an example.
$5 foot long hasn't existed in 7 years. How is there inflation on something that hasn't existed in 7 years, Matt?
Because of the inflation of making those sandwiches in general. The reason why they're making it, the reason why they're raising the prices is because everything's more expensive.
But they didn't raise the price. The price didn't, there's no such thing as $5
yes, it
foot
is.
Long. There's no such thing as $5 foot long.
For not anymore. Years. It's a $6, 6 inches.
No, there was nothing before this. It's not like they said we had
yes,
$5
there was
foot
the $5
there was
foot
not.
Long. You can find
the $5
foot long
had not existed in years. They had not marketed that in years.
Let
that was
see.
Not one of their plans. Now, I don't know, to be honest with you, the 6-inch sub may have gone up so much in price that they went knocked the price down to $6 to try and get people to go back to Subway. That could be less than what people were paying for the $6 or for the 6-inch sub, and that would be because of inflation. But comparing the $5 foot long to the 6-inch $6 thing is only funny because of the fact that it's $1 more for half the sandwich. Like, that's very funny, but it's coincidental. There's absolutely
okay,
no
I can see
connection.
What I see what you mean in that sense. Yes, in that sense, it was bad timing there, but they are definitely suffering from inflation as a restaurant, as
everybody,
everyone is.
I mean, every food is up in price. I'm just saying that, to be honest with you, I listen, and I think this is why they're doing it. When's the last time you ate Subway?
I will say I had Subway not too long ago. It was just in the mood. Well, I stopped eating Subway in college because we had it. It's one of the few things you can eat on campus. So eating it all the time, even to this day, that was probably my first Subway sandwich since college. So
right.
Seven
so it's
years.
Not often.
Yeah, exactly. Not
I
often.
Haven't had a Subway sandwich since the $5 foot long was a thing.
And it was the clever song. And you know, it's their fault for having it in Silverman.
But yeah, so I think my guess would be, Matt, that the 6-inch got to be like $6.50, $7 or something. And they're like, you know, we could lower the price and market it. And, you know, I think in their mind, they were probably saying, we're going to lower the price and market it and get people to come back to Subway because we've lowered the price of our sandwich to be lower than other delis or whatever. But the issue is, and I don't think they were thinking about this when they did it, it became a direct comparison to the $5 footlong and actually had the opposite effect. So what they were trying to do is, we're going to lower the price a little bit, like, the prices have gone up overall, so we're going to lower our price back down to like $6. We're going to use that as a selling point to get people to come back to Subway because it's cheaper than going to like a regular deli or whatever, going to, you know, somewhere else. And then, because they weren't paying attention or weren't thinking about it, they ended up hurting themselves because the first thing anyone thought of when they said $6, 6 inches was, wasn't it $5 for a foot long? And now no one wants to go there because all they can remember is how cheap it was to get a foot long in 2008, which, yeah, 2008, it was cheaper to do everything. 2007, it was cheaper to do everything. 1952, it was cheaper to do everything. So, yeah, calling back to a nostalgia time is never a good marketing campaign unless you're promising the same thing you promised back then. And that's not what they were doing. So I think this was a failure in marketing more so than an economic failure. And honestly, it's kind of funny.
I think it's very funny. And, well,
it just like, don't they have full teams? Like, right. They do have a full marketing team and PR team. And,
yeah.
Right?
You can't fool us, my friend. You can't fool us. And
it's not just fooling. It's just like, everyone knows the $5 footlong. And again, I've explained, and I know, like, I don't know if you even bought the explanation. There's going to be a ton of people who hear my explanation and don't buy it. They don't care. And that's fine. But the point is, even in my explanation, it's still a bad idea because it still makes people think about 2008 when a foot long was $5. So no matter what, you're making people think about more food for less money. And that's not a good way to sell food.
What a mess, Ryan. What a mess. And luckily, Subway has too much money. They were killing it in the 2000s and 2010s.
Those $5 footlongs.
I don't think they will cease anytime soon, but this is not a great start, if you will. This is not a good thing on your resume.
Better than that congestion pricing that Wendy's is going to do. So,
yeah, this is why credit. Fast food just... I feel like fast food was much better when we were kids. And like 70s, 80s, and 90s, I heard it was as restaurant good.
Look at it. Yeah, well, they didn't like... It was about profit maxing, right? Everybody was like, I want to make as much money as possible as quickly as possible. And so they cut corners and they made things less good. I don't think, of course. Yeah, McDonald's back in the 80s may have been restaurant quality, but it also took longer to get.
Making their food in beef towel, that's why they made the good fries, which I learned isn't that bad for you necessarily. It's just somebody complained about it once. Beef talon, I think.
Gotcha. I know what you're talking about. I mean, if you don't eat beef, that could be a problem, right? So I guess there's that. But
yeah, we're at this point in an age where fast food does the opposite. It doesn't make you feel good. It genuinely makes you feel worse as a person.
Yeah. We're and too old
not,
now.
Although, not supposed to.
Things like what? Things like Chipotle like and Cava.
I mean, I guess if you count those as fast food, I guess you do have to count them because they do it fast.
Yeah,
but
it's those just... don't bother me. But they're for older people. They're like a fast casual. They fast food aged with us, which is kind of fun.
So just a Norwalk thing, Ryan. Do you know where Boston Market was in Norwalk?
Yeah,
they turned that to a Chipotle.
Oh, good. I love Chipotle.
good.
I love Chipotle. So
Chipotle is definitely and Norwalk the had best a Qdoba, up there. Still there,
but that wasn't. It does, yeah, but. That was good Chipotle.
No, but in Qdoba is much more expensive too. Yeah, Moe's phased out. Remember Moe's? I had a Moe's in college.
So did I.
It just phased out. I don't even see him anymore.
Moe's is not good for you. None of it's good for you. But like,
well, they're especially.
Moe's was like, we're gonna dip everything in queso.
I don't eat queso at all. But I used to love their nachos. But I don't Moe's without
queso
the queso.
Was great. Moe's queso is great. It's best.
I don't really like cheese. Like the only cheese I have is Parmesan on my pasta, and macaroni and cheese and mozzarella, mozzarella. That's really. I'm not a cheese guy. The idea of going to a cheese store, like, what's wrong with you people? This place stinks. This place is weird. Like,
we need it for wine and crackers and stuff. You need cheese.
Yeah, wine and crackers. I'm sorry. Like. When I'm at a cocktail party, I'm suffering. Like, how do you eat? I really don't like cheese. I really don't get how you people eat cheese. It's so stinky. Wow.
I can't believe you've ended on this.
Like, comments. I'll eat cheese. I mean, I'll eat the bare minimum of cheese that I need. And,
but cheese I'm just like, that I need.
But, like, eating cheese whole, your cheddar, your pepper jack. I mean, again, just
you
the
need
cheese
a cracker
store.
Or meat with it.
No. At least. Yeah, exactly. I only eat cheese on my burgers and, like... No
comments. Do you eat cheese and do you like the smell of the cheese store? That's what we want to know from you.
The jokes I can say in my head with the cheese store, what that smells like.
As you give this video a like, just drop a comment telling us, are you pro or against the cheese store?
You know, there's this radio, again, one of the radio shows I talk about, they're doing a live event, Boomer and Geo with cheese, and I just wanted you
Is
people
a
show
person?
No, you people show how not hip you are. What the cheese? That's not funny or cool.
Cheese? Gotcha.
That's why I know.
Like a cheeseburger with cheese or a burger with cheese.
Yeah, they're trying to be funny and cool.
No, that wasn't funny.
And I see, like, as much as
I like
the
cheese,
radio,
and that wasn't
I'm
funny.
I'm the biggest radio fan, you know. But even I know how, like, wow, this really is designed for old people. If you think that's cool. With
I mean, if you wanted to do a food pun, it'd be like, what, Boomer a la carte?
There you go. Already 10 times better. The marketing team.
Well, I'm just like, these same people are the people who decided that marketing less sandwich for more money was going to give Subway the edge they needed. we already have established they need to hire younger people for these meetings.
You know what it is too, Ryan? You know, like, I'm sure you've been in a corporate meeting with a lot of people and they throw ideas, sure, and you show exactly why creative people are more artistic realms than maybe a corporate. And I'm not saying all corporates are not artistic, because they definitely are. A lot of them definitely are, especially advertising. But like me at a trade show company, hearing the ideas people threw out, I wanted to, like, what is wrong with you people? Like, what? I mean, you are not clever whatsoever. There's an audience. Your ideas are not hitting the emotion of the audience. You're arguing about bathrooms. Like, oh.
Well, the thing is, you do have to, when you're in that setting, you have to think about some logistical stuff that's not creative. You have to think about legal stuff that's not creative. You have to think about corporate stuff that's not creative. Like, you have so many not creative elements pressing down on you that it does stifle creativity. So it gives some slack. But yeah, radio hosts should be better than with cheese. they don't have enough corporate issues that with cheese is the best they can do.
Everybody, you know what I mean? Knows
if
me.
You know, if Disney had to go Disney with cheese because they're a big corporation, fine. Or but not Disney, Disney with Disney's, cheese. In fairness, Disney is a, you know.
I mean, they could do it as a joke.
Well, actually, that's a little funny. You know, what's like a non? That's a business that doesn't do entertainment. The problem is, every business does entertainment now.
Like a law firm.
Sure. I don't know. If you're like a massive law firm in, like, you know, Baltimore, New York City,
you Lords of London. You heard of Lords of London?
Yeah, you want to throw with cheese at the end of that? Go for it. That's the best you can do. You got way too much liability flying around everywhere, too many contracts, too many things you're not supposed to talk about. That's fine. You don't have to be creative, but you if you're a radio host, you got to be a little more creative than that. My opinion.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad. You know, anybody who knows me, I'm the biggest Giants fan. I have credibility with it, talking about them every single week on this show. You want to know who their big guest is?
Who?
Tommy DeVito. And no one's been talking about him for months.
Is he still a Giant?
Yeah, he is on the roster, but...
Because weren't they looking to draft somebody?
Well, that's the thing. He might be getting cut with the draft coming up. And check out our draft coverage at the end of the month. But it just shows, man, like, you need younger people to do these marketing things. Like, no offense to Tommy DeVito, and I said it here on the show, he was a great Linsanity run and a great distraction for what almost was a true disastrous season. But he hit a ceiling, and now you're bringing him all these months later. People forgot, so maybe he'll talk about his escapades, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Good for him. He needs it.
Yeah, but he really needs to figure out how to get on an NFL roster this year.
Or you can join a bunch of reality TV shows.
That, or Ryan, as you say, the USFL, which did kick off.
UFL now, we got this. Zach Wilson didn't make a team.
You truly are the only UFL fan I know.
Zach Wilson didn't make a team yet. We'll see.
Well, he's still technically on the Jets for now.
I know, for now. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll
openly
see.
Doesn't want
I guess
to play
he would. It would have to be for next season. Unless they cut him and they sign him now. Because he's on the roster for at least technically this year. That's why they need to get him traded. That's the only way they'll get him off the team is trading him. Because he's still signed for this.
He still has.
So assuming that, or they'll just cut the money and eat up his salary. Then he can go to the UFL. But
next year, UFL will be there. Trust me.
I may beg to differ on that. Hopefully it is for The Rock.
Hopefully for The Rock. Hopefully it's not. Then The Rock needs to come back.
Yeah, right. Does have to go away for a little bit.
Go. I love that. Everyone's like, he's making a movie, and I'm like, actually, he's trying to keep the UFL afloat.
Oh, poor Dwayne Johnson. He's gonna be just fine.
Very wealthy Dwayne Johnson, not poor Dwayne Johnson.
Literally. All right, Ryan. We'll see you next week with some more fun.
Sounds good, Matt.